Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Friday, March 7th, 2014. And in today's podcast, I return once again for the fifth time to the nation of Ukraine. With each passing day, the truth becomes a little more evident, a little more clear. We start our discussion today with another laugher from the President of the United States, the City Council of Sevastopol in the Crimean Peninsula, and home port for Russia's Black Sea Fleet, voted March 6th, yesterday, in emergency session to join Russia as a subject of the Russian Federation. The Council also decided to support Crimea's March 16th referendum on whether to secede to Russia or remain part of Ukraine. Funds were allocated out of the city's budget to prepare for the vote. Now here's where it gets good, folks. Speaking from the White House on Thursday, President Obama declared that a referendum in 10 days on the future of Ukraine's Crimea Peninsula would violate international law. That's what he said, folks. It would violate international law. So the president lectures other countries on when their internal votes about their future violate international law. Suddenly, he cares about it. But it gets even better. He went on to say, and I quote, "The proposed referendum on the future of Crimea would violate the Constitution and violate international law. We are well beyond the days when borders can be redrawn over the heads of Democratic leaders." Well, is that a laugher or not? He lectures the Ukraine on their own Constitution. He cares nothing about our Constitution, gives it no mind whatsoever, but he knows about the Ukrainian Constitution. What a laugh matter. It would be laughable, at least, if it weren't so sad. He and the European Union announced new sanctions against Russia, such as visa restrictions and suspension of economic talks. The truth of what has actually happened in Ukraine is a far different matter from what the president would have us believe. His version is that Russia has gone to war in Ukraine to suppress the popular will of the Ukrainian people as expressed by their freedom-seeking revolution against a Russian-leaning dictator. Russia responded to this outburst of freedom with an invasion, as they did in Hungary in 1956 when they killed 50,000 Hungarians. The trouble with this version of events is that it just isn't true. The man overthrown by the Ukrainian uprising, Viktor Yanukovych, was not a dictator imposed upon them by Moscow, but was instead freely elected by 48.95% of those voting. So here, the U.S. and EU orchestrated a coup of a democratically elected leader, while Russia seems concerned about it. How embarrassing is that for us? This coup seems to have been hijacked along the way by far-right neo-Nazi types who now are threatening violence throughout Ukraine. This far-right party now controls three ministries in the government. How do we know this is true, that the West, the U.S., and the European Union orchestrated this coup? Well, it is evident from the recorded phone calls between Victoria Nuland, Assistant Secretary of State of the United States, and the U.S. Ambassador to Ukraine. They recorded conversations where they basically admitted this. There are other recorded conversations as well. Russia intervened in Crimea after Yanukovych was forced to flee the country, and the government was replaced by a U.S. EU-approved new government. Now it seems that the West has eyes on Ukraine's gas companies and wants to see them privatized by the new anti-Russian government. Quote, "Privatizations at transparent auctions." That's what the new president said. Privatizations at transparent auctions. So who will benefit from these transparent auctions? Perhaps the new pro-West oligarchs instead of the old pro-Russian oligarchs. Here's another factor. European banks already hold more than $23 billion in Ukrainian government loans. Maybe these privatization sales, these auctions, will be enough to make up the $35 billion the country needs to avoid default in the next 2 years. Well, continuing, so the Ukrainian finance ministry of the new government is preparing an austerity program. This is where he gets good, folks. They're preparing an austerity program for the Ukrainian people to satisfy the European bankers that they will be paid. The plan calls for Ukrainian pensions to be cut from $160 per month to $80 per month. The poor suffer, but the banks make out they get their share, don't they? The plan will cut services, education, government workers, devalue the currency, thus raising import prices, including fuel, electricity, and so forth for the Ukrainian people. In the auctions, Ukrainian assets will be subject to takeover by Western companies. Meanwhile, as the bankers are paid, the U.S. gets weaker and weaker. Leaders of Israel, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Iran, Syria, Turkey, as well as Japan and China, watch the U.S.-Russia confrontation on the edges of their seats. President Obama is unwilling or unable to keep his verbal commitments to his allies. He blusters, he threatens, but it's all just empty talk. Washington may not be a reliable source or ally for safeguarding their national security anymore. That seems evident to them. This seems like a good place for the U.S. to have minded its own business, folks. But I guess the banks have business that needs minding, too. At least that's the way I see it. Until next time, folks, this is Darrell Castle.